Amen and amen. I do pray that we would desire to be that sanctuary of the Most High God. You know, he said that, and as I was corrected in my announcements, because I was announcing things that weren't absolute truth. I love this body of believers for that. You know, because unless you were biblically ignorant, you would have believed what I said as truth. But because we got people here that study the Word of God, they know that there is something special in the believers. And you are a sanctuary. You are the very temple of the living God. If you've trusted Him to be your Lord and Savior. If you put your faith in Him and He's begun that conversion, amen, in your heart and your life. And I am very excited to be that. And that is one of the things that makes us united in Christ, being together in one body, with one thought. And we've been going over this temple of God here. The building, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, from Matthew 16. And we talked about Jesus being the cornerstone and the plumb line, and truth and grace, or grace and truth is that plumb line. And our peace is found, our stability is found in the foundation, which is the King James Bible. And first thing, the first pillar, Jesus said that he will make you a pillar in the house of God. Amen. Who wants to be a pillar? I don't mean something you stick under your head at night, but I mean something that holds up stuff. Amen. Because that's a pillar too. And I want to be a supporting pillar in the building of God. Amen. And to be a pillar in the building of God, the first thing that brings me into that is part of that sanctuary understanding that you are born again. You have accepted the power of the Most High God. You've surrendered your will to His will. You've asked Him to be your Savior. Know that you can be saved. Know that if you seek Him, you desire Him, you will be saved. If you confess Him with your mouth and you believe in your heart, you will be saved. Amen? And that's straight from the Word of God. If you want it, you can have it. But you got to want it because the Father moved over you. You heard His voice over your life. You heard Him call you. It's not that you decide today, well, I'm going to be saved. You don't have that power. You got to be invited in. But Jesus is on the outside of the church, which is your heart, and He's knocking. And He said, whoever would open unto me, I will come and I will sup with him. Who wants to sup with Jesus? And I tell you what. And you're from the South now. You understand. Yes, you know what sopping is, right? It's that grease, that good juicy stuff in the bottom of the pan that after you get finished frying, you take your biscuit and you dip in and you sop all that good grease and flavor and all that, and you just eat it. That's just a, boy, that's a good. Jesus wants to do that with you. He wants to come and give you a biscuit, the bread of life. And He wants to sop, He wants to take all of your grease and all that stuff, and He wants to just marinate you with the goodness and the love and the power of God. And then He wants to share it with you, that you can share it with others. That's the beginning of salvation. That's the beginning of knowing who God is and knowing that you are in Him. And Wendy, you remember when we went through this a while back? And the second thing is when you are really born again, you have a desire to prayer, to have communion with God, right? And before I knew God, I didn't want to pray. I really didn't. I thought it was a huge waste of time. And now that I've been walking with God for several years, all I want to do is pray. I mean, studying the Word of God is wonderful, it's great, it helps me grow, helps me know truth, sets me free from the bondage of sin and death. Amen, amen, and amen. But the sweetest times I have is really not reading the Word of God. It's my prayer time with God. Now that may sound strange because they're one in the same, sort of. But I tell you, the power that you get from prayer is greater than the power of studying God's Word. Because prayer is two-way conversation. It's God talking to you. And He uses His Word to confirm that the Spirit that's speaking to you is actually God. Amen? He is God. He is Spirit and He's truth. And He's seeking those who would worship Him in spirit and truth. Right? Now he's asking us to do that. How do you search God out in spirit? Well, I do it through prayer. I do it through understanding that he is one that's looking for me first. Amen? He wants you to know him. Now, I'm not trying to take away from reading the Word of God. You ought to read your Bible daily. You ought to study to show yourself approved unto who? God. Amen? That the workman, how's the rest of that? The workman be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right, so you study the Word of God to divide it, to know what's right, so you wouldn't be deceived, right? To know the truth that you wouldn't be deceived. So you study that. But I tell you what, that sweet hour of prayer, as I'm saying this, there's so many, can you tell things are bouncing around in my head all at one time? Before I was a preacher, all right, I read the Word of God and I just bathed in it, right? Every time I read the Word of God now, I see a sermon, right? I can't read the Word of God without saying, well, geez, I can preach on this, I can preach. Before I was a preacher, I just sat at the feet of Christ, and it just poured over me, and I didn't have to think about what I will say about this, how I would describe it. I miss those times, right? So I find those times in my time of prayer more than I do the time of reading. Because when I read, I end up studying. When I'm studying, I end up writing things down and talking to you about it, right? Which is not bad, but it's just a different where you were and where you are, right? It's just different. But I still have sweet time in communion with God. And before I was born again, I didn't have either of those. Then after prayer and studying the Word of God, I desire to be holy. I want to be holy. If I'm not holy, my prayer will be hindered. God says that if I harbor iniquity, sin in my heart, my prayers won't be heard. And I'll tell you, folks, as a born-again believer, as a person who prays a lot, if I am living in known sin, I can tell my prayer doesn't get no further than the end of my nose. Words come out and they fall to the ground. There's no life, there's no seeking, there's no hope in them. Oh, but when I confess my sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive me my sin, all of a sudden that holiness comes, that righteousness comes, the living power of God becomes manifest in my life, and I desire to be like him. And he is holy. So I desire to be holy. And he gave me a word, the Word of God, to teach me how to be holy. So as you're doing this, these are the pillars that the Holy Spirit gives you as the building, as the church, the building of God, that the gates of hell will not prevail. And we're in this spot right here, fellowship and unity. And this is part two of unity in Christ. Oh, praise God, I did turn that on. I didn't think that I did. And in Ephesians chapter 2, and this is where we were last week. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much, your love, your grace, your goodness. We thank you for the great passion that you've given us and the desire to walk with you. And Lord, we are grateful for those things. I pray, Father, as we open your word today, that you would speak to us through that word, that we would hear what the Spirit has to say, and that you would guide us into your righteousness, Father. Help us to desire to be united, one with each other and one with you. And Lord, we ask those things in Jesus' name, amen. And so, Ephesians chapter 2, and starting in verse 11, because we went over the first 10 verses last week, he says, wherefore, and that is a wonderful place, but it's a bad place to start because he's talking about all the stuff he said before. So, wherefore, so verse 7, of Ephesians chapter, I can't just start in the middle of it. I can't do it. I don't know. Do y'all have a problem when you start reading the Word of God and you just pick up in a spot and you say, wherefore? Well, what's it? Why is it therefore? Right? Well, you got to go back and you got to look that up. So, talks about in verse 4 of chapter 2, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in sins. See, I'm putting words in there from a different translation that I memorized. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would cleanse my mind from the things that are not Scripture. Lord, help me to read your word as it's written. Father, that it would touch lives, that the power of God might be heard. And Lord, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show his exceeding riches. Well, praise God. His exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. All right, all of that is said to go wherefore? All right, all this stuff that he just talked about, by the God's rich mercy and his great love in which he loved us. Wherefore, all right? When we were dead in our sins, he quickened us. He made us alive. Wherefore? All of this is the wherefore. This is why he's doing those things. All right? By grace we are saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the wherefore, all right? So when we get to this wherefore of verse 11, keep those things in your heart and your mind. All right? Not of works, lest any man should boast. I will not be able to stand before God and say anything of my own self-righteousness. I am not righteous without Christ. But with Christ, I am more than conqueror. I am more than righteous, not because of my goodness, but because of his goodness. Not because of my works, but because of his works. But I will be judged by my works. Now catch that out. You show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works, as James said. So I have works that proves that I'm a born-again believer. But those works don't make me saved. What made me saved was the work of Christ on Calvary. That's what made me saved. God called my name and I surrendered to him. My righteousness is worthless without merit, without any good thing at all, until Jesus. Oh, that made all the difference in the world. All the difference in heaven and earth. That's what makes the difference. It is Jesus, his love, his grace. So that's what the wherefores are there for. Right? Wherefore, remember ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made with hands, that at that time... you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, all right, but God, okay? So we're going to back up just real quick, and we're going to look at those little bits that we talked about in verses 11 and 12. Wherefore, remember that in times past, you were Gentiles. Now, it doesn't mean that you were born outside of the commonwealth of Israel, although he says that. We've got to look at the commonwealth of Israel also. You were Gentiles. You were without the circumcision of the heart.
Right.
You were a sinner lost in the darkness of this world. There was no light in you, although God, Jesus, we talked about that in John chapter 1, that he was the light of all men that come into the world. He made you. You were created in his likeness and image. But you were without that light until that rebirth. I can't snap my fingers with that hand. I can only do it with my other hand. Anyone can only snap with one finger or one hand? I cannot snap with this hand. I can only snap with that hand. But anyhow, this hand's holding the Bible. I ain't going to crack my
finger. You know everybody's doing it right now.
I know. Everybody's, can I do that? And so, that before I was born again, I had no hope. I did not want to be around Christians. Right? I didn't want to have this unity. I did have unity with the world. You know why I went to the bar? To have like-minded people. Why I went to the sporting event? To have like-minded people, right? I wanted to be around people like me. But then God came and he made something alive in me that was dead. It was the seed of life that was put in me through Jesus Christ, that seed of light, that seed of life, but it was buried by the iniquity of the creation of Adam bringing sin into the world, the first Christ. Okay? But God, he called you, Odette, he called you, Justin, he called you, Wendy, he called you by name, and he said, follow me, come out of darkness, and I will show you light. I will show you the real circumcision, not done with hands, but done by the power of God, not done by the works of man, that you're going to be born not out of flesh, not out of the will and desire of man, but out of the will and the desire of God. And when that happens, all of a sudden, and it didn't happen overnight, but all of a sudden, I wanted to be around Bible believers. I wanted to be around people that we could say, praise the Lord, and not take the Lord's name in vain. Or when somebody took the Lord's name in vain, it hurt you. Right? It hurt you. When you saw that wickedness that was done for the five circle sporting event, whatever it's called. Olympics, thank you. And so you saw that, and it hurt you. It was evil. There was nothing good about it. And it made my stomach churn. Right? It just wasn't right. Before the Lord, that was okay. Live and let live. You know? If you can't have the one you love, then love the one you're with. All right? That was my song. But God changed all that. See, before I was not part of the Commonwealth of Israel. And you say, well, I'm not a Hebrew. I'm not an Israelite. Well, remember where they came from? Abraham? He was not an Israelite either. He was a Hebrew. It was the first time that people were called Hebrews, which means wanderer. I'm a wanderer. And so, because he wandered around the land of Canaan. It was all his, but he didn't have one place except for the tomb that he bought to bury his wife. And that's the only land that he actually owned there. But God gave him a promise that whoever blessed him will be blessed. Whoever cursed him will be cursed. Those who bless those who are in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And how do you know you're in the bloodline of Jesus Christ? Has God called your name and you answered affirmatively? Affirmatively. Close. You answered yes. Right? You answered yes. God called you. He saw you where you were, lost in a cage in the dark, eating the swine's drool of the world and enjoying it. And then God touched your heart. He reached out to you and he says, come into the light. And you said, well, I'm scared of the light. He said, come into the light. And he guided you out of the darkness by his great grace, by his great mercy. You were dead and he made you alive. And all of a sudden, you get to bathe in the light of God. In the glory of God. He anointed you and he brought you from darkness into that spot of love and warmth and compassion and joy. He gave you gentleness. You know, those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're given to you by him. And all of a sudden, I wanted to be united with people with that mindset. Verse 12, that at that time were you without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, all right, and without God in the world. Those who have not surrendered to the call of God are without hope. That's why when you, I do a lot of funerals for folks who don't have pastors. All right? And it sounds crazy. How do you do that? It's weird. People want a pastor for two times their life. They want somebody to marry them so they can go live like hell. And, oh, sorry. That's bad of me, but it's true. And they want somebody to bury them and say something nice over them that they might go to heaven. It's crazy, isn't it, Judy? It's crazy the way that people think. Marry me and bury me, but the rest of the time I don't want to have anything to do with God. they're not part of the commonwealth. Those folks who die, they die with no hope. They hope in the beginning of their life, in their beginning of their marriage life, I hope God's going to be part of this. But then they don't do anything to put God as part of this, and so God's not part of it. And then when they die, they live their whole life without hope. Well, maybe this guy with a tie can say something nice over me while I'm rotting in this box, because that's what happens after you die, that I can have some hope. No, your hope is when you are born again. Your hope is when you walk out of darkness into light. Your hope is when you're unshackled from the sin of this world. That's where your hope is, huh? Praise the Lord. Amen. That's where it happens. It's not in marrying and burying. But now.
The definition of commonwealth is representative government.
Yeah, a representative government. Amen. You know, you were born as a sinner. You were born in Lucifer's pen. Right?
There's only two nations. Yep. Mystery Babylon, heavenly Jerusalem.
Yeah, and you're either one or the other, in or out, hot or cold. You know, but since you're lukewarm, Jesus says, I will spit you, spew you, vomit you, whichever word you want to use, he's going to get you out of his mouth. So be one or the other. I prefer that you'd be hot, on fire for Jesus Christ. Amen? That on that day, you will hear good and faithful servant. Verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is your peace, our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enemy, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. All right, this is what we're talking about, the household of God. Are built upon the foundation, all right, built upon the foundation of the apostles, prophets, Christ, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, all right, up here, all right, who in whom all the building fitly framed together into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That is this diagram on the board. That's where this came from, is from this piece of scripture right here. We're being firmly fit together. We're being brought together. He's cutting off the dead and making alive. He's bringing us out of the darkness into his light, that we might be this body, this building, this church, these people that are called out of darkness into his light, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. The gates of hell only talk to you about war and death and violence and nasty ugliness. They don't talk about love. What do you hear in the world? What do you hear outside of the Word of God? Hate and violence and horrible things, right? You don't hear anything. There is no good news. In fact, the only good news is Jesus Christ, the gospel. Right? That's the only good news. Everything else you hear out there, it just breeds agitation. Right? How many of you watch, name your news channel or wherever you get your news. How many watch that intently and then rest easily? The two aren't the same. But when you get away from that and you start holding to the truth of God's word, coming to the unity, the one Spirit, the one mind, the one body of Christ, guess what I have? Peace. I have not the peace of man, not the peace of the world, which is a deceiving peace, but I have the peace of God in the unity of the body of Christ,
I draw strength from Tom. Tom draws strength from me. I draw strength from Odette, from all of you folks that are here. I draw strength from you by the Spirit of God, and by the grace of God, I might endue a little strength back to you that you may be able to stand in the darkness, in the wicked times, in the evil of this day, trying to give hope in the unity of Christ, because we are now one body. We are one body. Those folks who say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I don't want to be a part of the church. Amen? Have you heard that?
It doesn't work.
You can't be a born again. Well, yeah, I guess I can say that. There are no Rambo Christians. You know, the ones who do it without God, do it without the body. You can't get strength outside of each other. I mean, I'm trying to think of a Rambo Christian. Those folks who say during hunting season, I come to God, right? I get alone in my tree stand. I come to God there. All right? But you're not reading. You're not praying. And I hunt. Don't get me wrong. I love to put arrows in little fuzzy things, all right, and eat them, right? In fact, this year I'm planning on bringing a blowgun. Right? I'm going to practice with my blowgun. I got one on order. I'm going to get it. I'm going to learn how to shoot little squirrels. Because there's nothing worse than sitting in your tree stand, this little varmint scratching around on the ground. Poor things. I eat them. Oh, I'll finally get some squirrel to bring to Justin. I told him I was going to make him a squirrel dinner years ago. He said, I still ain't got a squirrel dinner from you. That's because I'm normally deer hunting and you don't want to shoot a squirrel with a 12-gauge shotgun. There's not much left.
Very, very fine shot.
Very, very fine shot. And so, I'm sorry, I went down that road. To be one with Christ, to be in the body of Jesus Christ, to be a prisoner of Him. Turn over to chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, the vocation, the job, what you are, who you are, what who are you in Christ Jesus, right? It can mean your job. It can mean who, the characteristic that Jesus Christ put in me when I was created in the womb. All right? A little smart aleck. Right? But God put that in me. I don't make this stuff up. It just comes out of me, right? All of these things that you hear me talk and I'm just rambling and some folks laugh and some folks say, oh, geez, there he goes again. It's not practiced, okay? It's just who I am. It's my vocation. I don't try to hide it. I don't put on big fancy words when I write things. I don't use silent letters because I don't understand them.
We still love you.
Amen. Praise God. You know, and that's part of the building of Christ, right? And so anyhow, it's my vocation in Christ Jesus. And I don't try to change that. Wherewith I was called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay? This is all about unity. This is the fellowship of the believers in Christ Jesus. So look at what it says. When we're together, we're supposed to be in all what? Starts with L and ends in onlyness.
Lowliness,
right? Humbly. All right? Don't think of each other. I don't think of myself higher than anybody else. Don't put me on a pedestal because I'm afraid of heights. I don't want to fall off. Put me on the ground, right? If I'm on the ground, when I fall over, I just got to dust myself off. Nothing breaks.
Right.
I'm a weeble, I wobble, I don't fall down. Right? But when you put me up on something high, or I lift myself on something high, thinking I'm more than what I am, all of a sudden I become something ungodly. So in the unity of Christ, I come with a lowliness, with a brokenness, with a humble and broken heart. Wendy and Nancy, both Nancy's, and all of us ought to do that. We should not ever think each other higher than what we are. We come with lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, putting up with each other, long-suffering for how long? However, how long you've been doing it? Longer. Okay. Longer. I don't understand why people, unless you're being called out by God. Now, there's a difference of being called out by God and going to a different place, right? But when God calls you into a body of believers, He's carving you to be fit there. You know why? Because everybody else needs you there. When you're called into the unity of believers, it isn't for you, it's for everybody around you. And He's carving you, molding you, shaping you, converting you into that slot. And when He puts you in that slot, that's where you're supposed to be until and unless He calls you to a different place. Or unless your pastor starts preaching crazy stuff. Now, if your pastor starts teaching something outside of the King James Bible, or starts teaching wealth and prosperity, or another gospel, well, we talked about that. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, who taught you another gospel, which is not the gospel, who drew you away from the grace and the truth that you were called into. If you're there listening and learning from that kind of stuff, run away! Run away!
Those who know the movie know what I'm talking about. It's from a really bad bunny rabbit. Anyhow, Lord forgive me. If you are there, I pray that you would have the courage to find a Bible-believing body of believers that would love you and bring you in, all right? Because that's where we're supposed to be, in the unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring to keep. Endeavoring to keep. What does endeavoring mean? Half-hearted?
Work at it.
I got to work at it. You know, there are sometimes I say things that make people mad. There are sometimes that people say stuff to me that make me mad. I got to endeavor. Do you know how much especially like on Thursday and Friday, how much I don't want to do this? And you're saying, what do you mean you don't want to do it? Dude, it's so much easier not doing this, right? Preaching, it is way easier laying carpet, painting a house, mowing the lawn, you know, cleaning your toenails. Amen, right? You know, it's just life. I could go live. Well, like I said before, before I was a preacher and I used to just like reading the Bible. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I like reading the Bible. But every time I read the Bible now, it does something different to me. It's not sit down on my couch and just bask in the Word of God. If I read the Bible, I've got to have a pen and a paper right close to me. Because God's going to show me something. And I'm going to have to tell it to people. It's not like prayer. I enter to my silent prayer closet, and God can talk to me, and I can talk to Him, and He can show me things, and I can show Him stuff, and it's private. I don't get private word anymore from the Word of God. It's because I'm called to preach, right? So anything He shows me, it's just for me to holler back out. I'm a watchman on the wall. When I hear something coming in, it's not for me just to enjoy it. Yay, God, I got this illumination from you. Woohoo! No, He shined it on me so I could reflect it back to you. So those days have changed. Not that they're any worse. I love reading God's Word. So when I say that, don't think that I'm getting tired of reading the Word of God. I miss the quiet with God. Anyhow, all right. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So when I say something that makes you mad, get over it. When you say something that makes me mad, guess what I got to do? Get over it. I've got to do whatever it takes to keep the unity of peace. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't confront each other, especially men. You know, what helps men grow stronger together? When we wrestle a little bit. Amen? Right, Tom?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I love you more now than I loved you before. Amen? You know why? Because we wrestle a little. How about you and me, Kev? We've locked horns a couple, 4-12 times, you know?
It's therapeutic.
Yeah, it is. It's therapeutic.
It's needful. You know?
You grow by it.
Thank you, sister. That's what it is. It's iron sharpening iron. Yeah. Nance just said it. Iron sharpening iron. We need that. We need the friction. But friction's that's supposed to weld us and bind us together, not make us go apart.
right? That friction is to cut off the loose stuff that the new shiny stuff might bind together. I talk about this show. I watch it on YouTube. That's the Southern YouTube. You probably get it in Alabama. Forging fire, or forging with fire. And so they make Damascus steel on there from time to time. Well, you got to take that steel, the two different parts, and you got to grind it clean before you try to weld it together. Because if you try to weld it together and it's not ground clean, it won't adhere to one another, it won't adhere to itself. So that for me to be stuck to you, that means I need a cleansing, a grinding. And God sends men like Tom and Doug and Kevin and Dave's, right, into my life to grind the garbage off of me that we might be able to weld better. Go ahead, brother.
Marines would call them noble.
Noble.
Because of that.
Yeah.
Because they sought to see if these things were so.
Yeah.
And I guarantee that they had interactions going on. In their
had to.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Had to.
Yeah.
You know, and so this is like that. Why? Because there is one body. All right. How many is the church?
One.
Thank you, my brother. Now, we might think there's a gazillion million billions of us. No, there is one. One body of Christ. And I got to be careful when I say this, okay? God doesn't care too much about what the name of your church is that you go to. He cares about the truth that is being preached out in that church. What brings us together is not being a Baptist. We're not Baptist. It's not being Catholic. We're not Catholic. And we are non-denominational. You know why? There is one church, and it is Jesus Christ. It is being in Him. It doesn't matter the name of the organized religion you belong to. You need to be in the body of Christ, having the rust and the grime and the grue ground off of you. That's why, though, Tuesday night Bible studies, Sunday morning Bible studies, when we open up the Word and we wrestle with things. I don't know about the girls' Bible study. I'm sure you do more than tea and stuff. I really don't know. I've never been. Never will go. Thank you. That's for girls.
And I am no girl.
That works for us.
And that works for y'all. Amen. But if you're not involved in that, I would dare say get involved in that. Because that group of people need you. They need you. They need your conversation. They need your input. For them to grow, the Spirit of God that is in you, ladies, needs to be there. All right? For us men to grow, the Spirit of God that is in you men needs to be there. So when we open up, we're in 1 Peter right now, we go through some scripture, and God speaks to Kevin, He speaks to Tom, He speaks to Doug, He speaks to the other Daves that come, or Joe. Oh, yeah. How old's Joe, like 112? Yeah, he is so old. No. 92 years old.
He's older than Bill.
He's older than Bill. He doesn't say much, but what he says, oh, it is deep and powerful and gut-wrenching from time to time. But he don't pull punches. He's been around the block like 92 times, right? He knows some stuff, and he's been walking with God. He was a missionary to China. And plus, he was a botanist. I don't know. He made bots. I have no idea what that means. But that's
plant
what he's
kingdom.
Huh?
Plant kingdom.
Oh, a plant kingdom. Ooh, plant kingdom. Ooh, and kudzu. I consume everything. And y'all don't know what kudzu. Yeah. Okay. Y'all folks don't know what kudzu is up here. You know what kudzu is. Oh. On the side of the road, those vines that grow over top of everything?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's kudzu.
Ah.
Kudzu was brought from Asia to stop erosion when they built the highways, and because it grows real good. Kudzu is the only plant I know that you can pull it by the roots, throw it leaf down on the asphalt and stomp it, and it'll grow. And you can't kill it. It just grows. They can't get rid of it. Anyhow, We need to be like that. We need to be like kudzu, right? We come together and we are symbiotic with each other. That's a biological scientist guy like Joe. Yeah. We need to be symbiotic with one another in the Spirit of God. There is one body, amen, and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. How many times is one here? Oh, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Is that water baptism, dunking, or sprinkling? No and no. This is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because it don't matter how much water you put over you. Listen, I have baptized some folks, right, Odette? You've been to most of them. I have dunked some people. I've put some folks under the water until I let them up. Amen? They're kicking, waving their arms. I said, you repent. Yeah, blah, blah. No. Wow, where's this coming? I missed you. Wendy, I missed you so much. She's bringing it out of me. She don't even know.
You're doing so well.
Seven times.
Seven. Amen. Seven times. Then seven is the number of God. Number of perfection.
Completion.
Perfection. Spirit. Amen. So one God, one body, one baptism. And it doesn't matter the water. All right? God doesn't care. Well, He cares that you're baptized in the Spirit of God. He doesn't care so much about the water baptism. Don't get me wrong. Water baptism is not necessary for salvation, but it's necessary.
It is a command.
Yeah. It's necessary for an out telling the world that you have been converted into the righteousness of God. Okay? That's what physical water baptism is all about. You're telling the whole world, look, I am dying with Christ, and I'm being raised again into the newness of His life, right? But if it doesn't happen in the heart first, it's just a shower. Right. Okay, it's just you're being dunked in a horse trough, all right? Because that's what we use, is a horse trough. And so,
I've been in it.
She's been in it. And it helped her. No, and the reason I say that, she was born again long before she was baptized, right? When she made that open profession of faith, everybody who knew her as a good person knew why she was a good person. Because her heart, she was united with Jesus Christ and made an outward and open profession of that. Many places in the world, especially in the time that this epistle was written, if you were baptized into Christ Jesus, you were an exile. Right. Water baptism. You were exiled from your family, from your business. You were no longer part of any organization because you were an enemy of the religious system of the day. But the baptism that's made without hands, the circumcision that's made without hands, the baptism that's done by the one true Spirit of God, that's the baptism that counts. But if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and haven't been baptized in water, talk to me. We have a way to do it. You know, we don't have a baptismal thingy up here. But while I got a water hose and I got a drum, and we will get it done. Amen? We do it right there. And we you know.
Too.
Yeah, we can. We can go right down to the local creek. And I did that in Caledonia. I baptized folks in that water down there for years. That's cold water. Freezing cold water. It was cold enough that I got waders, you know. And as short as I am, the water comes over top of your waders. It's cold. Finish, you've seen it. Okay, you baptize the folks down because I'm short and water's up to here. I baptize them down, the water rushes into my pants and it has the boots on them so it can't get out. So when I try to get out of the water, right, I have like 100 pounds of water in my pants. You know, it really was pretty interesting a few times. But that's not the baptism that counts. The baptism that counts, amen, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you get that baptism, that one baptism, when you trust the one Lord by the one faith. Amen? There's one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. That's how we know that Paul was Southern. He said you all, right? Again.
There was two where he's not one.
Not, yes, y'all. Yeah. And y'all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Amen. I like that because different people have different ministering things in the body of God. How can the hand say to the eye, or the ear, or the foot say to the eye? Or the in 1 Corinthians it talks about that, chapter 12, I believe it is, where it talks about different parts, offices in the body. Okay, in Christ Jesus. Well, actually, it goes on and says it right here in verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Right? He's going to keep doing it until you get made unto something. He's changing you. And he gave some apostles. How many?
Some.
12. Amen? 12 apostles. 13. Yeah. Amen. One born out of
time. Actually, 12 and then another one. And then Paul.
And then Paul, yeah. Matthias, I think he was. Then nothing about him in the Gospels, but he was elected. Anyhow, there's some things that went through my mind.
He had to be a witness because there were only two possibilities.
So, what makes an apostle? How do you be apostles? Why are there none today?
Handpicked by Jesus Christ and saw him resurrected.
Right, you had to be with Christ. You had to know Christ. You had to been with him. You had to walk with him. Saul, before he came Paul, when he became Paul, he said, "I am the last."
Yeah.
And he still spent that time with Jesus.
He still saw him during his ministry. That's why I truly believe that Saul saw. The miracles that were done in the temple that we just went through in chapter John, right? He saw the blind man being healed, right? He saw the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. I believe he would have been there during that time. He saw the baptism of John. I can't prove this because I wasn't there. But when John the Baptist talked about who warned you of the judgment, the wrath to come, who has warned you to the wrath to come, even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Saul could have very well been in that crowd that John the Baptizer was talking to. The timeline would have linked up together.
As a Pharisee, he would have been in some, at least,
at
some,
least
of
some of the places.
Well, he would have heard
Christ. He would have heard all of it.
Yeah.
Right? So, we're just thinking of timelines, and Cliff turned me on to that years ago. Timelines. Who would have been alive when somebody else was alive? You get into the folks who knew each other after the ark, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, Abraham could have very well known Shem.
Yeah.
You know, could have. Job, right? When the book of Job, he would have, one of the sons of Esau was Ebenezer? Abimelech. Yes.
Yeah.
They would have been of this, and it could have very well been the same guy. It doesn't say Abimelech of Esau, but it does say Abimelech. And he can, anyhow. So the way that people overlap in Scripture, Saul before he was Paul, being one of the apostles, when Jesus spoke to him on the road to Damascus and said, "Isn't it hard for you to kick against the pricks?"
That's it. That does it for me.
That does it for me. I believe that he saw these things, and God the Father was talking to him and calling him and said, "You saw him heal the blind. You saw him raise the dead. You saw him forgive the woman caught in the very act of adultery. You saw these things. Isn't it hard for you to deny it?"
Even when Paul was telling the other apostles, "Have I not
seen
Jesus
yes.
Christ?" So you had to see him resurrected.
Right.
Most, more important than before the resurrection.
Yeah.
And then handpicked by him.
And handpicked by him.
That's why he's not appearing to anybody right now.
Yes.
He's going to appear
one more time
at the end of the world.
And he ain't making apostles.
That's right.
All right? He's collecting saints.
Revelation says they say they are apostles
and are
not. There's a lot of people calling themselves apostles
mm-hmm.
right now, and they are not.
Not. Amen. And some are prophets. All right? A prophet in the Old Testament foretold the future. He saw something before it happened, and he spoke it. A prophet today just tells you the Word of God.
That's right.
All right? I'm a prophet. All right? I can't see the future except for what's written in the Word of God, because this is a closed book. No more is being added to it. I am not an apostle. I've never seen Jesus. The only time I saw him crucified is when he called me into his righteousness, and I didn't see him on a cross.
Unless this is the last book written in the scriptures,
yep.
there were still apostles, or still prophets.
Prophets,
right.
Amen.
Writing the scriptures.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, yeah, like you said, the word prophesy means to speak the word forward.
Yeah.
But a prophet of God, God spoke to that person.
Yes.
And it was written down and spoke over. You have people right now that are telling you that God is speaking to them, and they're prophesying lies.
Outside of the Word of God.
That's right.
All right? God's not speaking to nobody outside of this Bible.
That's
amen?
Right.
And is God able to do it? Yes, I believe he is.
So are others.
Amen. That's why we're told to test the spirits to see which kind they are.
That's right.
All right? We got to test them. Some are prophets. Some are evangelists. Amen? I can evangelize. And I can preach.
Right.
All right? If you're not boasting about myself, but anybody who's seen me out in the street talking to folks about Jesus Christ, it works.
That's right.
It works. God works. And some are pastors, some are teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. And why are we perfecting the saints, making perfect the saints, maturing the saints? For the work of the ministry.
That's it.
All right? Why do we preach the Word of God? Why do we teach the Word of God? For the working of the ministry, that you would be able to go out. And guess what? You, too, can be a prophet.
Right.
All right? Now, not a prophet that foretells, but if God calls you and he allows you to evangelize, when you evangelize, what are you evangelizing? You're evangelizing the lost, but what with? The Word of God.
Right.
Which makes you a, starts with a P and is an office, prophet. Right? That's what you are. You're foretelling the Word of God. Pastors. Pastor is a little bit different office. Evangelists got it easy, really and truly. They just go around, stir people up, and walk away. Right?
But they primarily have just the one message.
Yeah, they have the one message.
Where you have a different.
Yeah. I got to build up the body every week, and I got to look you every single week in the face.
You have a relationship.
Right, amen. Yeah, evangelist business.
I
mean,
the hospital.
Yep. Yeah, I cry with you. Evangelists, they may cry around you, but they don't really care that much for you. You know, a pastor, it's a different heart. It really is. It's a different heart.
He's going to tend to.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, and I got to tend to those people, you know, and by the grace of God. But I was an evangelist for a long time. You know, I'd stir up the nest. Boy, nothing I like better, walking in and kicking a hornet's nest. Then leave and let the pastor take care of it. You know? And so, anyhow, but the whole reason for it is the perfecting of the saints. Amen? He gave us these offices, these differing offices, for the edifying of the body, perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and the edifying. That means building up. Of the body of Christ. Till, that means there's an end to it. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. When's that going to happen? If we all get to heaven. Oh, when? She said when. I said if. But you're right. When we all get to heaven. What a glorious day that will be. And also, we'll work on the other side if we all get to heaven, you know. But it is, I pray that you are one in Christ. And that's why we preach the Word of God.
That's why we teach the way we do. That's why we don't pull punches. That's why I don't... I want to make friends with you, but if it goes against the word of God, I don't need to be your friend. There's another way to pronounce pastor. It's called pasture.
Yeah. Okay. That's a root word.
Yeah, it is. It's what is a pasture?
The lamb's feed.
Uh-huh.
And the grass.
And the grass. Yeah. And then what do they do? They relieve themselves on the grass. And then what do? They go to a different pasture. And so, and then what happens? And then what happens? More grass grows. And as a pasture, you need to be prepared for that. I love feeding the people of God.
Feed my lambs.
Yeah, then feed my sheep. Feed my lambs twice, feed my sheep once. Right? It's about feeding. It's about teaching this unity in the Spirit, the edifying of the body, building up. We're here to build one another up. Edify, build up the body. Wow. As you can tell, there's a lot to be said about unity. And we haven't even gotten into 1 Corinthians yet, okay? But understand this, there's one faith. There's one body. There's one Spirit. There's one baptism. There's one God, the Father of all. Amen? There's seven ones in that. And guess what? You can be part of the one. If the Father is calling you, if you have heard over the last 55 minutes, I've been speaking for 55 minutes, if God, 58 minutes, if God has spoken to you and you've heard His voice, you have something to do. You've got to answer Him. My prayer is that you would answer Him as the young prophet said, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Answer Him affirmatively. Here am I. And I will do whatever you tell me to. I will go where you send me. I will be what you want me to be. If you do that, I guarantee you peace. The peace of God that goes way beyond understanding. That's Word of God. You surrender to Him, you will have a more abundant life than you ever thought was possible. Amen? And so you got something, Tom?
Yeah, the true Israel of God.
Yeah.
Being a Jew does not make you part of the Israel of God. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ neither circumcision, Jew, availeth anything, or uncircumcision, Gentile, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God.
Yeah.
So the true Israel of God is Jew and Gentile with a broken and contrite heart and a bowed knee to Christ. And a true mystery Babylon, children of the devil, is Jew and Gentile who have not bowed their knee to Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But we know that in the judgment, all are going to bow their knee.
That's right.
And confess that He is the Lord. Amen. I want you to get your confessing here, now. Because if you wait till then, that's a different, a whole new reality is going to open up to you. Amen?
Can I just say something about what you said, feed my lambs twice and feed my sheep once?
Mm-hmm.
Lambs are younger
mm-hmm.
and need to be fed more often than milk.
That's good.
Sheep need meat.
Yeah.
That's good.
Amen. Amen. And since we are all gray-headed people here...
That's why we serve meat.
If you want Zippy Mart food, there's a spot for you. No,
Bill 75.
He is 75. And by the grace of God, I pray that someday, Lord willing, I'll be there. It's many, 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 many years from now. Oh, folks, I love you. I love laughing with you. I really do. I really do love this body. We have a really unique thing going on here. God is doing a peculiar work, you know. Amen. Lord, Father, we do thank you. We love you. We praise you for your goodness and your righteousness. And I do pray, Father, that we have heard from you today, Lord, as we're looking into the unity of the body. Father, I pray that you would keep us bound in your peace with the oneness of the Spirit, Father, knowing that you give us that peace that passes all understanding, that you, Father God, will keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Father, we're desiring you, that we would not be deceived in this day of evil, that we would know truth, and that truth would set us free from the bondage of sin and death. And Lord, we thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.